is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you are having a blessed and happy Thanksgiving. We have much to be thankful for this year. Yes, you do know this, don't you? That God has protected us from so many things that have not happened but were planned to happen. We have extra angels positioned around to hold back the flood of evil, and Jesus has taken a step closer. We have a great deal to be thankful for. We in the United States and in the entire world, we are on borrowed time. The time has been extended, and now is the time, and it should be a great year. The prophet said that 2019 would be a time of exposure, and it was, exposing the evil and the good. And we know that the wheat and the tares grow together, and we know that as we see these things approaching, we should look up and rejoice, for the King is coming. Hallelujah. So I hope you have had a great Thanksgiving. Also, I wish you a very blessed Merry Christmas as we celebrate Jesus coming to us in the flesh, the Word made flesh. And however you feel about celebrating, we won't get into, but we are thankful that Jesus came to earth to teach us to live the exemplary life and to die and to be resurrected for us. Yes, hallelujah. So, because I am recording this the day before Thanksgiving and will post it probably on Thanksgiving, although I always date on Saturday morning because that's traditionally when I started on the radio, my program aired on Saturday morning. This will be up before Saturday on that great shopping day, and I refuse to call the Friday after Thanksgiving by the new retail name. There's nothing dark or evil about it, and whether you spend that day writing cards and putting up your Christmas decorations and baking or shopping, that's up to you. But I do try, most years, to give you some book recommendations. Because this broadcast focuses most centrally on encouraging mothers, of course educators too, to believe for their children, particularly around learning problems, but everything is connected to everything. But because we are about overcoming learning disabilities, most centrally, of course I'm going to talk about books, at least once in a while. So I am not affiliated with any of these books or booksellers unless I tell you about one that I wrote. Now, I might come up with one of those, but I will talk about that at the end. But anyway, so I'm going to talk about books. Start with books for the little ones, okay? And then go up toward adult books that I am reading now. Of course, there's all kind of books, but all right, so I'm going to suggest Come Into My Heart, Lord Jesus by Stormy O'Martian and Sherry Warren. You can buy that at Mardale. And there's also 5-Minute Bible Stories by Thomas Nelson Publisher. You understand they publish the New American Standard Bible, of course, many other things. These are 5-Minute Bible Stories by Gwen Ellis. Also, Thomas Nelson has the I Am Story Bible, 40 Reasons to Trust God by Diane Stortz. You know, I'm fairly critical of a lot of the Bible story books because I think they leave out a lot of things, they gloss over a lot of things, they homogenize things, and you can go through Bible story books yourself, but every child ought to have a bunch of them. Okay, so get a good one. Maybe variety. So some of them could be easy and some of them could be a little more accurate and a little more challenging. Because simply because a child does not have academic grasp or a grasp of the world doesn't mean you can't tell them good stories. And they will learn more about the stories as they go along. A couple of books that aren't specifically Christian, I'm going to mention. The Tiny Seed by Eric Carle, C-A-R-L-E. So it's a brilliant, colorful style. And of course, it's about a seed that it beats the odds and fulfills its purpose, growing and blooming into a beautiful flower. And of course, children are not going to talk about things in an allegorical way, but I think the point will get across and you can bring it. I've always loved the Ugly Duckling story. I would cry sometimes as I told it to the children, but they were always fascinated. Okay, also Go Away, Big Green Monster by Ed Emberley. And so, of course, this seems like a simple book too, but this tells children that they can tell people no, and they can tell their fears to go away. And of course, those of us who believe in spiritual authority will apply that in that manner. Okay, I recommend that. So then for little older children, I'm going to mention the books by John Bibee, B-I-B-E-E. These are chapter books for elementary school or junior high school readers, children who read. I think the boys will like them. They're a little scary for me, and they just blow me away spiritually. It's wonderful. I enjoy reading them, and certainly I've bought some for my grandsons. So The Magic Bicycle is Bibee's first work, and he has two series. One is all about the bicycles in a little town. The kids are being tempted to get into a game that's not good for them and treat other people badly because of it and so forth. And then there is another series. So the whole series about the bicycles is called the Spirit Flyer series. Of course, Spirit Flyer is the kind of bicycles that the good kids ride, but that's not said correctly, but you understand the Spirit Flyer. But I think you can guess that there's an allegorical or typological message there. Oh, it's just amazing. There is another series called the Homeschool Detective series, and there may be books that I don't know about. So, unfortunately, John Bibee is not with us, but with the Lord, unfortunately for us. But you can still get his books, all kinds of booksellers. Looks like InterVarsity Press publishes The Magic Bicycle, and Barnes & Noble's comes up on an internet search as selling new ones. Okay, so I'm also going to tell you about a series that I was told about. This would be for a little older child, maybe junior to senior high, again, focusing on the boys, and that's the Aubrey Maroutin series. Now, this is not a Christian series, but somebody who I respected said that they learned everything they knew about leadership. So I know that some of these characters don't necessarily do the right things, but, well, it's a historical fiction in the time of Napoleon, and these two people are in the Navy. One is a ship surgeon and the other is an officer who gets promoted along the line in the series. And so this may be useful. You can check them out. Okay, and another series. Now, they're aimed at boys, but boy, I think it would be great for girls too. This is the work of S.J. Dahlstrom, D-A-H-L-S-T-R-O-M. And the series is The Adventure of Wilder Good. Wilder is the first name of the young man, and Good is his last name. These are written in a way that is not academically challenging. So an elementary school child could probably read it, but it is real enough and talking about picking up adult responsibilities in a world that's not entirely always, everything doesn't go right. Wilder's mother, for instance, is ill, very ill, and so he doesn't even have the time of his father, but he does find a friend like an uncle. Anyway, I think that subject matter
would be appropriate for senior high school boys. And often there's such a hard issue to try to get books that are appropriate, encouraging young men to be young men and yet not be too academically challenging. So the Aubrey Marathon, you know, if you've got a high schooler that can do their studies pretty well, they're not going to have trouble with that, and they're going to enjoy the puns and the literary challenges and so forth, but some students just won't. But all students today really need to be challenged to act appropriately. And Dahlstrom is very much rooted in the Western culture. I saw him give a reading in a library in Lubbock, and he fit right in there. I don't know where he's from, but I wouldn't be surprised. And these books are not specifically Christian, but I would be very surprised if Dahlstrom isn't an evangelical Christian. I just thought this was wonderful. So one of the stories was that Wilder and a friend who's a girl get lost, and they get into some real danger. But she has enough good sense to do what her father told her and not make the matters worse. And in fact, her father comes out and is able to find the children because she did what she was told to do. And of course, Wilder wasn't a flake in the whole thing. And he was able to really rescue. So they had gone out with an older person who got hurt, and so he was able to help everybody. But she was not a wimpy kid either, so I recommend these books. Now, that's a great segue into some serious books that I'm going to recommend. That's the work of Jordan Peterson. I first heard about Jordan Peterson from a friend whose high school son was reading Peterson, and they were so happy. Now, their, of course, sons are wonderful anyway, but they were so happy with this son's really taking hold of achievement, responsibility, starting with cleaning his room. And Jordan Peterson has since become quite famous, great encourager of young men in our culture when they've been really dumped on, and has told young people, it's great if you want to go change the world, but start with cleaning your room. Since I'm afraid our school system has often enculturated students to be irresponsible and not take responsibility, not be diligent, then we've got a major, major issue culturally, because that's a pervasive influence. But Jordan Peterson is the reverse, and he is controversial, but hallelujah, bless him for it. And so if you've got young men or grown men who will read that, then I recommend the work of Jordan Peterson, not specifically Christian. I would also recommend the biography of John Adams by McCullough. John Adams, our second president, was extremely influential in the founding of this country, was an extremely Christian man. And McCullough does not bring that forward enough, but he could not suppress it. And I would recommend this. You know, Jefferson gets the credit for writing the Declaration, but he largely copied what Adams wrote for Massachusetts. And Adams was simply too busy doing committee work. And we might not have won the Revolution had Adams not foreseen the need for a navy, and was very much to his own harm and discomfort over in Europe trying to get some funding for us. And he was very, very active in the democratic deliberations for the Declaration of Independence, but he was in Europe for the Constitution deliberations. But then he became the first vice president and the second president. And I really think he's an unsung hero. And I just was so impressed with him as I read the biography. And so if you've got a reader in the family, somewhere, anywhere, buy this book. Okay, now moving right along to some more adult reading. I'm tentatively going to suggest that you check out the work of Dave Asprey. Dave Asprey is not a Christian and is one of the most popular podcasters in the world. but I really have to thank him for being the cutting edge of giving the broader public knowledge of the cutting edge of science. So in that podcast, he interviews cutting edge scientists, well, at least a third of the time, maybe as much as half the time. The other half, he's interviewing shamans and so forth. So you may or may not want to listen to the podcast, but he has a few books out that I'm going to recommend. So it starts with the Better Baby book. And I tried to buy this and failed. I would have enjoyed giving you a review of that, but I suspect it will be good because he does base his work in science. He is a parent himself, and he cares about these things, and so they will be good ideas for better health. He has a book called Headstrong, which I enjoyed reading a great deal, took notes on it, and just so thankful that the wider public now is in the conversation about better health, and that information can't be locked up as it was for so many decades and kept away from us so that some people could make money and the rest of us could die. But anyway, so I'm thankful for that. And he has a new book out called Superhuman. I haven't read that, but the subtitle is The Bulletproof Plan to Age Backwards and Maybe Even Live Forever. Well, I'm not sure that forever he really means, but he is talking about living to 180. And the reason the word bulletproof comes up is because he owns Bulletproof Coffee. He does have some cookbooks. Now, he's on the keto side of things, and that's, as we've talked about, very controversial. And he is on the record as disliking kale. So, of course, then that's only a provisional recommendation. But anyway, I thought you'd like to know about that. And I see no reason to stick our heads in the sand. Christians should not be to be behind. Of course, Colbert and Jordan Rubin did talk to us Christians, and I know Colbert continues to have works, and so that's great, and we're all for that. But anyway, this is a new guy that, well, it's new to me. Okay, so want to talk to you about some other things. I enjoy the work of Lance Wallnau, and if you want to understand more about the political debate, I recommend God's Chaos Candidate. Wallnau is the person who coined the phrase God's a wrecking ball for political correctness. Lance is now talking about another book by Douglas Murray entitled The Madness of Crowds. And it seems like a very insightful sociological analysis of what's going on in our society and our politics. So if you're into that, you might want to give yourself that as a Christmas present. I would also recommend the work of John Enlow, E-N-L-O-W. And so he has a book called The Seven Mountain Mandate, which talks about the Renaissance and God's kingdom, really. So the way I understand the whole Seven Mountain thing is this is the whole idea of vocation or calling. So God has called all of us to be kings and priests, and Martin Luther and John Calvin, the reformers, said we all have a calling, a vocation. It's not just those who are called to be religious, you know, not just pastors are called and everybody else is pew fodder, but no, we're all called for a ministry of some sort, whether it's mothering or what have you. Whatever your occupation is, you should be aligned with God's calling for your life. Well, so that's the basic idea of the Seven Mountain, and Wallnau and Enlow are both preachers of Seven Mountain Mandate, but Enlow has a good book which he covers the seven and how God would like to bring his heart to those sectors of society. With Elizabeth, his wife, they wrote The Rainbow God, which is another go at that same idea, and you hear it's a little different voice there because of Elizabeth's contribution, and very encouraging. I find both of these works very encouraging. And another person has come across my radar, so to speak, this year, and that's Kevin Zadai, Z-A-D-A-I. He has a number of books. I have not read his books, but I have seen him on Sid Roth and on YouTube, and you might want to check him out. And talk about encouraging. So this guy went to heaven. He died on, you know, in a surgery and came back. The Lord sent him back. But he got to really tour around heaven and speak to the Lord Jesus, and apparently has had some angelic encounters since then. But anyway, to sum up, part of his message is, go for it, because it's rigged. You can't lose. And so I will tell you one story. Now, this came off a sermon preached just a few days ago, and I don't know if it's in a book or not, but he has a number of books. So he said that he was walking around heaven with Jesus, and they went to the hottest place in heaven, and it was, as I understand it and remember, it was a sapphire floor with flames coming up, and it's just in front of the throne. And Jesus said, yeah, you can walk on it. And so he did, and it was just awesome. And then Jesus said, okay, and I want to show you something else. And so they went out to a fence, the fence between the edge of heaven and the world, and there were a whole bunch of people milling around there, and so many people there compared to how many people were in front of the throne. And Jesus said, look, they didn't really die so they could be on the edge of things. So, hallelujah. That's encouraging to me. I hope that is. All right. So I want to mention to you that we are not getting anything, not even a penny, for recommending these books. There's no affiliate link. I tried that. Didn't work. In fact, made no money, and Amazon kicked me off because of low sales. So I really used to, there were some years there, I just worked very hard and long putting links up so that you could have books. And I hoped that, you know, a few pennies on those tens of dollars of books that you bought would come to the ministry. But that just didn't happen. And I was refused to get on one radio channel because he found an ad on my website, which was a surprise to me. But I was using a free WordPress website at that time. And unbeknownst to me, there was an ad. And so he did not let me on the Christian radio station because I was too commercial. What? So I noticed that Asprey, at the end of his podcast, made sort of apologia. So look, Asprey is a businessman. He sells bulletproof coffee. He has a whole wellness center. You pay big bucks for that. And when he has something like the Juve on, he has an advertisement. Those are affiliate products. And he says, look, I walk my talk, and therefore I invest in what I am telling you about. See how different it is? But in the Christian circles, there's all this criticism. It's Leviathan and Jezebel is what it is. You don't want anybody to rise up. It's all about critical. Now, to be fair, on the upside, it's because Christians want to do the very best and they work on morality. But look, that's supposed to be you working on your morality, me working on mine, me working on my maturity and perfection, and you working on yours. Just sniping and criticizing, that's not godly. In fact, let's read a scripture today. Okay, out of the best book. You know, I one year I went to a lot of trouble to find some of the best Bibles to recommend. Put those links up anyway. And maybe the best book of the best book, Ephesians 4. We'll start with verse 29 and read 29 through 32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so that's 31. And let me stop here. Evil speaking might be better translated as vilification. This is how John Wesley translates it. The word is blasphemeo, but the context is all about speaking to and against people. Blasphemeo, and vilification would be a good translation. In the New American Standard, this is verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Blasphemeo, this is speaking against other Christians. And Wesley has a wonderful sermon on it. I think it's sermon number 40. Anyway, he said, Matthew 18 is the cure for vilification, evil speaking. If it's not important enough to speak to the person about, it's not important enough to pass your lips. And blasphemeo, I had to think about that. I think that Jesus takes it personally when Christians speak against Christians. Well, when anybody speaks against Christians. And we are persecuting each other. It's time that we let people follow their vocation. That I was even saying, like, okay, John Osteen was a powerful word of faith preacher, and Joel Osteen is not like him. But why should we speak against Joel Osteen if his calling is to be an evangelist, and if he is reaching out to people who would otherwise not be in the church? Who are we to judge? Joel Osteen is not our servant, but God's, and let God judge, okay? So don't write me about Joel Osteen. Write me, but not about that. So the point here is we should not speak evil against one another. Let's spend our breath speaking the words of God and encouraging one another, okay? Edifying. Oh, and then the last verse. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus also has forgiven you. Amen. So that is a good place to leave it. The good news is that the bad news is all wrong. It's also, the big news is, now is the time. The prophets are saying it. We might as well say it and do it and go for it. And that's what Jesus said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came preaching. And what did he preach? Repent for, and that means turn around, do things differently, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's a good word for the new year. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.